go to the chuppah and run away. And there was one simcha, he sat the entire time. And they asked him why. He says, because I got a letter from the Kiva Eger, the Dara Ladar, and he wanted to be at the simcha, and he couldn't be. He says, could you go as my shliach? The Chazal says, shlucha shalarim kamoistoi. The shliach is like the person. He says, well, I'm sitting here, I'm Rebbe Kiva Eger, I don't want to leave. So here I get to be a shliach of somebody bigger than me. So it's a good thing. I wanted to speak about Shabbos, since we're here on Erev Shabbos, and in England, especially on Erev Shabbos, in the winter, Shabbos is it's a topic that we speak about so often. What more is there to say? Nonetheless, we always have to re-examine it, and I want to give you a little wake-up call, perhaps to Shabbos, that I heard from the Rebbe I go to often in Yerushalayim, the Talmud Rebbe of Yitzchak Menachem Weinberg Shlita. He said the following. He does a lot of counseling, and while he's counseling, he says sometimes he tries to slip in the question with children, do they like Shabbos? He says if you ask them directly, they're going to say, I like Shabbos, because you have a rub sitting there with a beard like this, asking if you like Shabbos, we're going to tell them no. So he slips it in, though, and he says a large percent of the children do not like Shabbos. Why don't they like Shabbos, he says? Because most of what they like to do, they can't do on Shabbos. Always tell it's muktzah, you can't get there. They're sitting around. Their parents are home, but their parents want to sleep. So when you finally figure out something fun to do, like build towers of blocks and smash them down, your father and mother come rushing out. You know, what's wrong with you? We have to sleep. And that's the way the day goes. Never have a summer Shabbos. It's Gehinnom. They're waiting for it to be over. So we have to maybe take that as a wake-up call, the chlal, to what Shabbos is about. And also in the world of kiruv, of outreach, people want to know what Shabbos is about. And often Shabbos has a very negative image when they look at it. It's a day of what we don't do. I'll tell you an interesting thing I overheard in Eretz Yisrael. It's a sad thing, but it's an interesting thing. Once on Chol HaMoed, I went with my family. We went on a tiyul. There was an organized tiyul to a winery. So it was filled up a bus with some families. We went to the winery to take a look. And there was a non-observant Israeli couple with their child who came there also. And they're looking suddenly at this bus and emptied out with all these people that looked in, differently from them. And the child asked the mother, said, Lama yesh kol kach harbe ne'ele kan? Why are there so many of these here? So she said, you have to understand, en lahem Shabbat. They don't have Shabbos. This is the only time they can do anything. Right? In other words, they viewed it, we don't have Shabbos. Remember, Shabbos is a day, your day off. It's like the Israeli Sunday. You can go driving, visiting, tulim, barbecues, all these different things. But there's some people that are from people that they don't have Shabbos. And what can they do? They can only do things on Chol HaMoed. So this is the picture. What do we have? When we want to tell people we have Shabbos, what do we have as opposed to just the don't? So Rav Huttner, Rav Yitzchak Huttner Zatzal, your essay is coming up soon, Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, Yeshiva I learned in. So he approached Shabbos with a very interesting question. It goes back to Chaim Volozhin and the Vilna Gaon. The question is, how can we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests on Shabbos? Kivoy Shabbos mikom alachta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests. That's often one of our answers. Why do you rest on Shabbos? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests. The question is, wait a second. We say in davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadesh b'chol yom. Tell me my separations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly renewing my separations. My separations only exist b'chol rega v'rega, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the chayas to all of creation. If for one moment that wouldn't be, nothing would be here. That's part of what we believe and what we say. So on Shabbos, we don't see that it stops. We don't see that the planets stop turning, that gravity stops, that there's nothing in the world. It's all going. So where's the menucha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos? How can it be that all malach is going? And he quotes the Vilna Gaon, who gives a very puzzling answer. The Gaon always wrote the Kitzur. He says, because all the malach of Shabbos was prepared on Yom Shishi. Very hard to figure out what that means. There's a big universal Shabbos clock that the universe has put on somehow and it runs. What does it mean? So Huttner approaches it like this. He says, there's a small halacha in the Mishnayos of Shabbos that you can use to pull out a very big general yesod about Shabbos. And it goes like this. In the malacha of Hetzah, in the malacha of taking out from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, the Mishnah in Perek Yud says, HaMotzi Ochlin Pochos Mikashio Bekli. Everything that the Torah tells us has a shiur. If the Torah tells you not to carry, the question is, how much do you not carry? Or how much are you allowed to carry? If a person takes out ochel, which is less than the shir that you're chayev, which is a gregarious, it says in Perek Zayin, which is a fig's worth of food, and you take it out in a kli, you take it out in a pot, poter afal hakli. You're not chayev even for the kli. So let's imagine this in our mind, we have to visualize it. We have a tiny bit of food, less than a gregarious, which is less than the shir, midaraisa at least, that you'd be chayev for carrying. And you carry it outside from your house into the street in a pot, a fig pot. So the Rishonim talk about whether the consistency of the food makes a difference. If it's an apple in the pot, it doesn't really need the pot. But if it's a food which is soft, and you can't carry it without the pot, so therefore, you're potter on carrying the pot outside. Even though you carried a large pot, which would certainly be a shear otherwise outside, you're potter. Why? Because the ikur, the primary in your carrying is the food. The pot is only secondary. The pot is tofel to the food. So in Shabbos, we have a very interesting principle, the Malach of Shabbos, and that's called Malachas Machsheves Asatara. The Malach of Shabbos is not just the action. Two people can do the same action. One will be potter, another one will be chayav. One person makes a hole in the wall. Why? It's dumb. It's a destructive person. He made a hole in the wall. Another person makes a hole in the wall because he plans to put a shelf in. One can be over on boner, the other one was just mekalkel. The action depends on the machshava. So here, if you ask the person, what are you taking outside now? Right? A person hears somebody calling up from the street, do you have any chomp left? He looks in the pot, it's a tiny bit of chomp, less than a gogeris. He says, I have a tiny bit of chomp. He says, please bring me chomp. So you carry the pot outside, and somebody would ask him, what are you doing? I'm carrying chomp outside. Because the chomp is the ikr, the pot is tofel. So therefore, that doesn't contradict Shabbos. This is a halacha, a prat in Hilchos Shabbos. Listen to what Rav Hudna the Baal Pachat Yitzchak does with it. He says, from here we can see that the idea of ikar and tofel, of primary and secondary, is a very big principle on Shabbos. Let's transfer it now to what we asked about the menucha kiviyochel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the universe was being created, in all the 6 days of creation, so it was expanding and expanding, each day, getting more complex, getting more impressive, like there was sun and moon and stars and animals and fish and birds and water and dry land and all these things. But there's a question which echoes more and more the greater the universe becomes. So what? What's it for? What's it for? And on Shabbos is the first time that the word Kedusha appears in the Torah, like Kadeshah. And there we see what the universe is for. The universe is for this idea of Kedusha, the idea that there will be Nivroim who are able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He created the world for that through Torah and Mitzvahs. So therefore, all of the universe becomes the kli, becomes the pot to that chomp, becomes secondary to that primary. It's a tricky concept, but if we think about it, let me give you an example maybe from real life that helps us handle it a bit better. A chasna, right? You have a chasna kala, people are preparing a chasna. What do people talk about for months before a chasna? They'll talk about halls, they'll talk about food, they'll talk about music, they'll talk about photographers, flowers, invitations, clothes, right? And very little about what you may call the ikar of the chasna. Right? There's very little talk about that. That's been taken care of. They decide to get married. No, now we have to deal with the important things. And even when a person comes to the chasna, at least it's especially this way in America. Here in England, I think you separate off. You do the chuppah first off and then the reception after. In America, you come, the food's right in front of you as soon as you come. Right? the bottom line, as the person comes, you see the hall, you see the food, you hear the music, you see all the different things. At some point in the corner, there's a chasn sitting with a few loyal friends who abandon the food to sit by him at the chasn dish, and a kala that people come to give a quick kiss to before going to eat. And then that's it. It's there, and the people jump into the wedding as it is. So while people are jumping into their plates at the wedding, let's imagine that at some point, Chassid Shalom Lo Leinu, the father comes to the band leader and he takes the microphone and says, excuse me everybody, I hate to interrupt you, but apparently the chassan got scared and I heard that he's now on a plane out of the country. And it's not going to be, but this cost me thousands of dollars. So please, everybody, enjoy, dance, sing, have a good time. Nobody's going to be able to have a good time. I hope, unless he's a real behemoth, you won't be able to have a good time. Sit there, it should be the wedding is over, you know. Okay, That's it. It's finished. Why? Because even though that thing took so little time and so little attention time, that was the ikar. That was the ikar. And without that, everything is meaningless. Without that, everything disappears. So this is what happens in the universe as well. It's a big universe. It's a beautiful universe. But when it comes down to it, so what? What's it for? When you have the clear picture of what the universe is for, so then all of that fades into secondary. So this is what the Vilna Gaon meant when he said that the malacha of Shabbos, all the malacha in the world that happens, was prepared on Yom Shishi. Because on Yom Shishi was the creation of Adam. And Adam has the ability to prioritize. Adam has that. Adam can decide what's primary and what's secondary. So now if we look, what do we do on Shabbos? On Shabbos, we have our don'ts. We have the shvitzah from all the malacha that we do, because we're stepping back and we're saying, what's the ikar? What's the ikar in the world? What is it all created for? And that explains so many things that we do in Shabbos. That's why Shabbos is the day of Torah. That's why even Midrash Shir LeYom HaShabbos talks about the big questions of the world. It talks about Lagid Baboshech Hastecho, Bemunoscha Balelos. It talks about Tzadik HaTomer Yifroch. It talks about big philosophical questions. You don't see much in Midrash Shir LeYom HaShabbos that seems to be about details of Shabbos itself. Because that's the day where we sit and we sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we learn His Torah, we concentrate on the things that are most important in life. This can explain really why Shabbos is a day of Menucha. A lot of times in outreach, people try to sell Shabbos in a way that just doesn't go. Somebody's out there, you tell them, listen, you need a day of rest. But I have a weekend. No, you're not really resting, right? You have to rest. That means you have to turn off the phone, turn off everything, and sit with your family. Rest. Yes, I don't feel that restful, because I have lots of hobbies. I like to go to a concert. I like to go hiking. I like to go traveling. Do things. For me, that's not restful. It'll be boring for me. I like to do things. How do you show that this is a better day of rest than any other day of rest? It's not a day of rest in terms of just the idea of not doing. And we have to realize for ourselves as well, the idea of rest is not simply that we're not working. When Chazal says that Shabbos is me'ein olam haba, does that mean olam haba, you sleep and eat chom? That's olam haba. Right? The idea of Shabbos is that you rest by suddenly getting clarity, by suddenly seeing what life is really all about, the priorities, and that gives menucha to a person. Then a person is not pursued by all of the different things that pursue them often in life, the things that worry them. All the olam hazadikah things fade. They're no longer that important. And that's the true menucha. They take their place. Those things which are tufel, which are secondary, are placed in their secondary category. Those things which are primary become clear to you, what's important to you in life. And then that's a person who's able to rest. Maybe this can explain a little bit what Chazal say, that we're supposed to look at Shabbos ki'ilu kol malachtecha asuya, as if all your work is done. Right? They write about it so many times, they sing about it, there's even songs about this idea that all your work is done. And for years it bothered me. I had a hard time understanding. Is it something a person is supposed to try to convince themselves to do, to hypnotize themselves somehow? Let's again take a practical example. It's a Friday afternoon. Somebody's working in an office downtown London, right? And it's Friday afternoon in the winter. So he's starting to slip out of the office quietly, 1:30, 2 o'clock. His boss notices him. Goldstein, where are you going? The boss, remember, it's winter, Friday. I have my Sabbath. I told you I have to leave early. We're behind on the project, and your part of the project is the most behind. If we lose this contract, Goldstein, you're finished. You're fired. You're done. And with that, he leaves the office. So he comes home, right, takes a shower, his wife spends his licht, suddenly he gets a big smile on his face. I finished the project. It's done. I finished it. We got the contract. I even got a raise. Baruch Hashem. Is that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to hypnotize ourselves that what we didn't do yet is done? Most people can't succeed. Chazal, would they give us an impossible task? But I think with what we're saying here, we can see how it's possible. Let's take another scenario, a less pleasant one, and change it around the same way. The same man is there in his office. It's a weekday now. Suddenly gets a call on his phone, and he starts to dash out of the office. The boss says, Newt Goldstein, where are you going? He says, I just got a call from the hospital. My son was in an accident. He's in the intensive care ward. I have to go. He says, well, Goldstein, the project is behind. Project is behind? Project? What? You'll be fired. Fire! What? My kid's in the hospital. Forget it. Nothing. Right? The whole job, the whole thing. He's not thinking. He's not concerned about any of that. because there he's focused on something which is far more important, which is a primary, as opposed to that secondary. That's so clear to him at the time, he couldn't even think about it. Another mashal for this I saw once is two gentlemen from Golders Green win some kind of lottery, and they're able to go up with NASA's next space shuttle. They're able to go, they're chosen to be the first from astronauts in space. They ask all the shilas, when you're going to daven, when you put on tefillin, all these things, everything's clear, and they're up there. So they finally get up there, and they're sitting, looking out the window, the moon, the stars, the sun, and one says to the other, he says, "No, Moshe, I just called my wife." She says, "There's a huge traffic jam on the North Circular." We've been preparing for months. We're up here in Shemayim looking at the sun, the stars, and this. Like, you're worried about the traffic on the North Circular. Right? When you're there, so then all those things, if you're sitting in the North Circular, right, then you know it and you're paying attention to it, and then it's your thing. But when you're suddenly in a much bigger world and you're a much bigger picture, so then those things don't bother you anymore. They don't worry you anymore. You're able to somewhat free from them, and then when you come out from Shabbos back into them, you look at them with a different eye. You look at them in a different way. They don't pursue you anymore so much, and that's a real menucha. That's a menucha which continues on. Now there's something which we have to explain, though, that seems to be a little bit of a contradiction to this. If Shabbos really is this day where we concentrate on the Ikar, where we want to concentrate totally on what the world was created for and Kedusha, so how would we design Shabbos? If we were to design Shabbos with those criteria, we would often think that we should make Shabbos like Yom Kippur. Right? If you want to have one day a week, which emphasizes the ruchnius, which emphasizes the spirituality, it's the ikar of all things, we should sit in shul all day and daven and learn. Fast even. Right? Because all these other physical things are tafel. Emphasize the ikar, the spirituality. And yet when you look, Shabbos is the exact opposite. Shabbos is a day which seems to be so magushim, it almost seems un-Jewish. Imagine somebody comes, you have somebody from the JLE comes to your house, and you're singing Zmiris, and you don't happen to have an English one, and he says, "What's this song about?" "This song is about all the birds we eat. About burim, slav, the dogim, we like shech them up and cook them up and eat them." That's what you're singing about on a spiritual day. A guy doesn't sing about his food like that, right? It's like it seems like a very strange thing, right? We talk about this aning v'tanugi me'erev mazminin kol minei matamim. We're singing about the food. We're shuckling. We're singing. It's a hellish when you think about it. But this has got a very deep message for us also. When you look at Rashi and Beit Zev. Rashi and Beit Zev, Dr. Zayin, he has a puzzling explanation of what the Neshama Yisera is. He says, what's the Neshama Yisera? He says, it's a rechav lev, it's a breath of the heart, the menucha, for rest, ula simcha, liyos pasuach l'ravacha, to be wide open, the yochal v'yishte, and he will eat and drink, ve'ein nafsho katza alav, and his nefesh is not disgusted by him. Right? Shabbos is a day we have a certain mode of breath, of openness. We're able to sit and eat and drink, and your nefesh isn't revolted by it. What's it saying? During the week, many times, when we make our secondary things primary, so the poor nefesh gets drowned. A person sitting there in front of a big steak, right, with a big glass of beer next to him, and he's about to jump in, and the nefesh says, "What about me? Shah! Right? You be quiet. I'm concentrating on my steak now." Right? This is, but on Shabbos, the idea of the clarity, the extra neshama yisera which you have, which enables you to see the world differently, to put things in their place. So then, the gashmizdika things are exactly the way they were created to be. Then a chicken is exactly the way the chicken was meant to be. During the week, we often abuse our chicken. Right? We take it, we make it right almost an elul. We make it an ikar of our life. Whereas on Shabbos, because we have the clarity of what the world's about, then we're using the gashmis and the hanos, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, exactly the way they were meant to be created. The Mesilas Yesharim describes it. The end of Perek Aleph, he says, that these things, the hanos of the world, were created to give a person nachas ruach and yishuv hadah. They are tools. They are things which help us. When we need to, they can give us a certain dose of hanos, pleasure, which helps us do our tafkid in life. When we're nervous or afraid sometime or depressed, they can give a certain idea of yishuv hadas. They can help us calm our mind. I heard an interesting maisa from Rav Moshe Shapira, a great gaon in Yerushalayim. He said it was a messiah in the yeshivas that once they asked Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich, Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenetz, they asked him what he would like in Gan Eden. Rav Baruch Ber said, I would like a shtender that doesn't shake, a solid shtender. I would like a warm base medrash, and I'd like a maseches nedarim from the Vilna Shas, right, which was the best shas at the time that had the clearest print. So Rav Moshe told us with this story. He says when this story was told to Rav Shach, he says Rav Shach added in, I'd also like a cup of coffee and a cigarette. Right, that was what he added. Okay, now he said, what's the shot in this story? What's the depth? He said they were not talking about the gashmiyistic of things they want. In other words, what they were saying is their picture of Gan Eden is to be able to dive into their learning without anything bothering them, to be fully there. So he said, Rav Baruch Ber was saying, when your shtender keeps shaking, and I'm sure a lot of the shtenders in Europe were like that, so this, you lose your concentration. When the base medrash is so cold that you're shaking, you can't concentrate. When the Gemara is such poor print, you have a hard time to see, it stops him. And he said, Rav Shach's idea of the cup of coffee and cigarette, later he became very anti-smoking, by the way. He stopped smoking, but as a young man he smoked. So he said, the person with a maven and a cup of coffee and a cigarette knows that it's not a hanoah for itself, but it's there to help you get into what you're doing. He says, it's there, it's something to help you get into it. So this is the idea of all of these secondary pleasures, of all of these things in the world. And then these things rise up, like the Mesillas Yeshayim says, when you use something in the world for what it's meant to be used for in the best way, then those things become the best. He brings the raya from this week's parsha with the Avonim that Yaakov Avinu put his head on. There's an idea that the Avonim are all saying Alay Yaneich Tzadik Yisrosha, that the world wants to be used and not abused. The world wants to be used in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it, to be a tofel, to be there to help you do the things that you need to do in Ruchni. This is the Me'ein Olam Haba of Shabbos. This is where everything is in its place. This is where you have the clarity. This is where you're able to see. This is where your priorities are able to be the way that they're supposed to be. How does a person get it? How does a person sense this in Shabbos? In some ways, it comes from actually having some mysterious nefesh for Shabbos. It's interesting, and I think people who've had different experiences, when a person has to have mysterious nefesh for Shabbos, whether it's leaving work early or something else, that's when you can feel Shabbos, and we'll try to explain why. I'll illustrate again with a story that I heard. I heard a story about a young woman in Manhattan who was beginning to get interested in her Jewish roots. She started going to shiurim. Families invited her for Shabbos meals. She would go sometime, but she had not accepted upon herself to keep Shabbos yet. She was still wavering. So at one point in the summer, one of the families she would go to said, we go, this is the minig in New York, to the mountains, which means the Catskill Mountains, right? These are mountains outside of New York, and there in the summer, it's a minig that started from back when they didn't have air conditioning and such, that in the summer, you go up to the bungalow colonies of the Catskill Mountains. And the men work in the city and go up for Shabbos, all these different minogim. So they said to her, come see how the Jews spend the Shabbos in the country, come join us. She said, fine. She had a car, and she started driving out from Manhattan Friday afternoon, but she wasn't familiar with the traffic patterns in the summer, because Nainahara, there's so many people going up there, that the traffic jams become great all day and it takes a long time for them to free up on the famous Route 17. And she was driving along and she could see the sun setting and the traffic was creeping and she knew she wasn't going to make it. So then she started to have an internal debate. She said, well, what's the problem? I don't keep Shabbos. I don't go, I'll drive, I'll park the car respectful distance away from the house and I'll walk in and they'll probably be polite enough not to say anything. But she said, but still I was going to keep this Shabbos. This was a Shabbos I designated to be with a frum family to keep Shabbos. The other alternative, turn the car around, get off at the next exit and go back to Manhattan. Again, she'd end up driving on Shabbos. She said, I had decided not to do that. So she came to an exit, she pulled off into a small Goyish town in upstate New York. The sun was just going down. She pulled the car to a stop in the main street. She looked around there. She saw a police station. She walked into the police station. She came in. They said, can we help you, ma'am? She said, can I sit here? They said, yes. Are you waiting for something? She said, yes, sundown tomorrow. She said, push it, I have to. I can't go anywhere, and I want to be safe. Right? So if you wouldn't mind, I'll spend this day, 24 hours, in your police station. And that's what she did. And you would think that at the end of that story, she would say, that was when I decided I'm finished with this Shabbos thing. She said, that was when I decided to keep Shabbos for the rest of my life. because that was when she sensed the idea, which is a tremendous freedom of having your principle, of having your primary, and being able to put the other things in the world to the background and say, this is what life is about. This is what I want. That's when a person senses Shabbos, lives Shabbos. When you treat Shabbos as an ikar, so then you're having an idea of having ikarim in your life. And that frees a person from all the different failing in life that run after someone and bother them. So you don't have the latest espresso maker. So you don't have the fanciest car. So you don't have whatever it is that's there. Shabbos frees you from all of these different things. And then Shabbos guides us to put our kochos into all these things, into our family, into our learning, into our tehillah, all the different things that we do on Shabbos, and that makes it a day of tremendous hanah, really me'ein olam haba, where you're able to somewhat leave this world, but still be here. You're in this world as it reaches its purpose, as it was meant to be. That's ki'ilu kol malachtecha asuya. This is the oneg of Shabbos, and this is the special light of Shabbos. Chazal say that on Shabbos, ma'or ponov shel adam is different. Your face is supposed to light up in a different way. It's an idea that the light of a person's face comes from Da. The light of a person's face, right? Rav Huttner would say it, this is where the or with an aleph breaks through the or with an ayin. Right? He says that's the one place you can see a person's Da in the face. When you have that understanding, when you see it, that's where the lichtig eponym of Shabbos comes from. So I hope that we, together with all of Am Yisrael, should be zoche to this Shabbos and to all the Shabbosos ad Yom Shekulah Shabbos Menucha L'chayolami.
Amen. Shabbos.